Begin the current daf Masechta Baba Basra daf Mem Gimel. Begin on the bottom line of daf Mem Bez Mem Bez, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we had a Mishnah on the previous daf in Amud Aleph that said that although there is halacha of chazaka, there are certain individuals that don't have the rights and the quality of chazaka. For example, shutafin, arisin, apotropos, and there are certain individuals that generally, for example, like by metalton, which these cases are describing, or it could be even by cases of karka, like by an aris, if you have this thing, by metalton immediately, or by karka after 3 years, it's an indicator that why is it by you, that obviously it's yours. And if you claim so, so it's chazaka that has a taina, and then you don't have to prove it with any documentation. But the cases that our mission described by a sharecropper, what do you mean, why are you here? You're here because I hired you. Of course you're taking the produce. That's how we're splitting the produce. So too, if you're a partner, the fact that you're here, that doesn't indicate that it's yours. That's how partners treat each other. You're an apotropos, you're a caretaker. Of course you're here. Of course you're going to be here. No one's going to protest because you're supposed to be here. You're Yerid Bishus. Now, one of the halachas of our Mishnah, Shmuel actually had a text that was a different nusach in our Mishnah that he said that, yes, cases like an uman, like a craftsman, that people bring like clothing to them to fix, or so those types of things, he can't say that he bought it because everyone knows that people bring stuff to you to fix. But he said, actually, the case of shutuf, yesh li chazaka. Regarding a partner, Shmuel said that actually a partner will have a chazaka. And the Gemara had said that that's Shmuel, according to his opinion, that he said a few different halachas regarding shutuf and regarding partners. One of them being related to the halacha of a mishnah machzik and zelzeh, they could actually create a chazak one. The other, which the Gemara in the previous daf explained, seemingly that was contradicted from a different halacha of Shmuel, and the Gemara resolved that. Another one is, which our Gemara is going to discuss right now, is umeiden zelzeh. And that also that they could testify one regarding the other one's portion. So when they buy something in partnership, he has one half, he has the other half. One partner could testify, could be as a witness, as an aid, something relating to the monetary aspect of his partner's half. On that asks Agamara, so Shmuel said, Me'idin zeh lezeh, that each one could testify one for the other. So now the Gemara continues on top of Mem Gimel Med Aleph, but am I? Why could one testify for the other? Neigin be'idusan hein. There's a bias, there's a relationship here, the witness regarding to what he's testifying. Because as long as they didn't totally divide, they're still partners, they didn't totally separate, if someone's going to contest and take away something from the field of his partner, it's going to cause a loss to both of them. Because then they're going to have to redivide, and therefore it comes out, although he's testifying for his partner's half, it's really testifying for himself, and the person cannot testify when there's a negiyah bedavah, when there's a relationship that has over here, that there's a bias related to what he's testifying about. So that answers the Gemara. Hach my skin, what are we talking about over here when the partner could testify with the other partner? Is dekasav lay, it's where the one who's testifying, where he writes to the one of his partners who took possession, that din udvarm ainli asadazu, that I don't have any rights to litigate on this field. Meaning, even on the part that's my part, I'm giving it all to you, which that's what the wording of din udvarm, what it means to say is, although it says din udvarm ainli asadazu, it's like saying din udvarm lo yeheli asadazu, that I shouldn't have. Because that's the terminology of the chachamim, that when they say ainli, it means that lo yeheli, it shouldn't be for me. Now, therefore, since he gave his portion, his partnership in the field, totally to his partner, now he could testify because now he's not related anymore. He doesn't have any investment, has no bias here whatsoever. Now, truthfully, the Gemara could have answered that instead of saying, Din Dvarm Ainli Al Sadazu, it could have just simply said that he acquired his half to his partner and sold it to him or gifted him everything that he had, where therefore he has no investment here whatsoever. It's just that the Gemara wanted to say a bigger chiddush to say that even in such a terminology, when you just say din nevar mele asadazu, it's like you're gifting it to him by just saying those words. Now, actually, on that chiddush, on that novel part of the Gemara's answer, is actually what the Gemara asks right now. What does it help if he writes to him and he says, din udvarm, law and words I don't have on this field, I have nothing here, it's all yours? What does it help? That's not a terminology of gifting. And since it's not going to affect gifting his half to his partner, so he's still invested here in the testimony that he's given because he ultimately still owns his half. Because Ratanya lit in a brisa that says, if someone says to his friend, his partner, din udvarm ainli al sadazu, same terminology we just said before, where I have no litigation here regarding this field, I have no rights in this field. Or ainli esig ba, I have nothing to do with this field. In other words, I have nothing to do with it. In other words, the inference is that it's all yours. And it's just that he's not saying explicitly, but he's essentially saying that it's not mine anymore, it's yours. Or he says, V'yadi misulakas amena, my hand is removed from this. I have nothing anymore invested in this field. Says the Braisa loy amaklum, he hasn't said anything. Because since he does have a portion in this field, now, and he's saying, lo yeheli chelik, but I shouldn't have a portion in it. So that's not a terminology of gifting it to his friend. That's like a prayer. Like, oh, if only that I didn't have a portion in this field. No, but as long as he doesn't say that my half should be given to you as a gift, it hasn't yet left his domain. Now, the reason for this is because this is when he already has a portion. There were two partners. He had half. You already have it. Saying lo yeheli that din varm ein li asadazu is not going to remove it. Because such a terminology of din varm ein li asadazu would work only by something which he has not yet merited in yet. And he's stipulating that it shouldn't become his when it's ultimately going to happen that it's supposed to become his. That's when it works, because you can't force someone to merit something against his will, as the Gemara says later on the Mem Tes Amud Aleph, and so too the Gemara says Ksubas Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, regarding something that a person's going to inherit at a later point in time, he could stipulate that he doesn't want to inherit it. But what our Bryce is discussing is that since it's already his, and he's saying, lo yehashli, it shouldn't be mine, so you didn't say anything. Because by default, it is yours. And as long as you didn't gift it to someone else, it's still yours. And therefore, the Gemara asks, how could you say that the reason why he's not negei be'edus? And he could testify for his partner is because he gifted it to him. How? By saying, din advarim ein le'asadazu. But that doesn't gift it to him. And so therefore, it's still yours. And therefore, how could you testify? Because if someone comes and takes away from him, it's going to create a loss for your half too. So the Gemara answers, Hachamai Iskina, what are we talking about over here when we answered for the Gemara that he's not anymore a partner when he says Din Devar Me'il Asadazu, is talking about Keshekanu Miyadik, when his partner actually went and gave this partner who's testifying a Sudr, a kerchief, and where now that was through that Kinyan of Sudr, that what's called Kinyan Chalipin, it transferred that partner's portion to the one who is in possession of it. Oh, now that there's an acquisition, so that's where the stipulation works to say that they're making a kinyan on that. It's that he's saying, din devar me'il asadazu, with a kinyan, that kinyan is affecting that he doesn't have any more portion, and therefore he's not invested anymore, and therefore there's no bias, and that's why he could testify for his part, for his former partner, because he doesn't have any rights in it anymore. Now, the Gemara asks on this, v'chikana miyodo mehava, but still, what does it help that if that they made a kinyan, a transaction, that should change this guy's rights and give it to his partner, and still, he should not, why is he allowed to testify regarding the field? He still, as the Gemara, is going to be considered negeya be'edus. He still has a relationship to the testimony that he's saying, because he wants that the field that was his half should be considered his partner's. Why does he want that? Because this guy who's giving his half to his partner is going to utilize that as a way to pay up his own creditors. For example, if let's say there's Reuben and Shimon, and Reuben says, moreover, he made a kinyan to affect it, and that actually works. That will give everything that was his half to Shimon, and now he has no investment, and therefore he could testify. The Gemara says he still has an investment. Why is he investing? What does he stand to gain if Shimon gets it? It's not any benefit for Reuven. There is a benefit. Because if, let's say, Reuven had a creditor who he lent, that he borrowed money from before he was makne his half of the field to his partner. Now, his creditor comes and wants to collect the money that he has for him, and he doesn't have any money to pay him. So the half that he had beforehand was property. Property, there's a lien on it. The moment the person takes a loan, that all his properties are indebted to that debt. Now when his creditor comes to collect, he could exempt himself, although he has nothing to pay him, by letting him collect from the field that was originally his, that he gifted to his partner Shimon, and that would affect that he's not going to be considered, as the Gemara will later on explain, what's called that a person is lever rasha b'lo yishalom. There's a wicked borrower who doesn't pay, he doesn't want to be in that category. And by maintaining his half that he's giving to Shimon, his partner, he will have that he has nechas mishabadim that can be collected by his creditor, and then it's not like he never paid up his creditor, because the creditor will collect from this nechas mishabadim. Because if he didn't testify for his partner, who now has the whole field, because someone else is contesting. And then that person will actually take it away from his partner Shimon, because he has witnesses who says that, what do you mean, these partners had no rights and that it was always mine. Then Reuven's creditor will not be able to collect from it. And then Reuven's creditor is all upset. He's not getting paid back because Reuven has no money. And now there's no menachasim mishabadim. And he's going to be what's called labor rasha b'lei shalom. So therefore asks the Gemara that there is a gain for Reuven to be had, to be considered negei b'davar, and have a bias regarding the testimony. Because even though it's totally Shimon's, but Reuven would still gain regarding his creditors collecting from his half that he gave to Shimon. As the Gemara says, the Amar Rav and Bar Shmuel Mishmei de Shmuel, he says, Hameiches sadeh l'chaveri shaloi b'achrayis. If someone sells a field to someone else without insurance, without responsibility, which most definitely this halacha would be if it is with achrayis, but it's a chiddush, even if it's without responsibility, still says Shmuel, ein meid lo yalehu. He cannot testify regarding his consumer. Meaning one would think, of course, when he sells it with responsibility, you cannot, because there's obviously a bias there, because if someone's going to collect from him, you have to pay him the insurance. But that's what Shmuel says, even if there is no responsibility. You can't come and collect from me if someone takes it away from you. Still, there is a relationship he has to that buyer that him and someone else cannot join together to testify to say, though, that it is disguised and whoever's contesting it cannot take away from him. And even if, as we said, that if the Lekeach lost it, he wouldn't be able to come back to the Meir. Why? Why can't he testify? What's the bias? Because he can then leave it there for his creditors. Because if, and obviously that we're talking about where he doesn't have any of his own land, because if he has, you can't go to Nechas Mishbad, you have to first collect from Nechas Bnei Chayrin, as Gemara explains at the end of the Sugya. But what that gain is because here, since he sold it to this guy without responsibility, without insurance, now his creditors who had lent him money before he sold it to this guy could then collect from the Chasim Mishabadim, which is this property that he sold to this person. So therefore, says Shmuel, even though seemingly you would say that, okay, if you sold this guy without insurance, what would be the investment that you have over here? Why can't you testify that it's really this guy's? It's because you're going to stand the gain for your Balchayv, because now when your creditor who lent you money years ago, that he'll have where to collect from, and you won't be considered labor rasha b'lei shalom. So they've asked the Gemara, that same halacha of Shmuel would apply, and there's a question on our Gemara, why could you testify one for the other? Even if he was makne to his partner and he has no investment whatsoever, there still is an investment for his creditors to collect from his half, because if his partner loses that, and it's like as if it never was their partner's, because whoever was contesting says it was his, then his creditor will not have a mechas mishabadim to collect from, and it'll be a wicked borrower who doesn't pay up his debts. So that answers the Gemara, Hacha Mayiskinan, another qualification in Shmuel's Halacha that we started off with, of Me'in Zalzeh. What we're talking about is the Kabbal Allah Achrayis, where this partner who acquired his half to his other partner, we're thus removing himself from this whole entire field, he accepted responsibility. He gave it to him with insurance, as the Gemara will shortly explain the details of it, where now he doesn't stand to gain for it to be a place for his own creditors to collect from, and therefore he could testify. Because as the Gemara is going to explain, if he took responsibility, so what does he stand to gain? So now his creditor will be able to collect from him. What does that do? The partner's then going to come right back and collect from him anyway. He's going to be right back to square one. He doesn't really gain anything. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's the case we're talking about. Where not only did he gift it to his partner, he also said, look, partner, if anyone takes from you, I'll compensate you. I'll insure you in that. So either way, it doesn't stand the gain. He's going to be right back to square one, where he then owes the same money, whether it be his original creditor or the new creditor being his partner. Now, the Gemara first clarifies. Achrayis deman. What type of insurance, for what type of situations, as anyone knows for insurance, it depends what is the circumstances. What is he insuring him from? As the Gemara explains, inem achrayis de'alma. If you say that it was insuring him from general calamities, meaning nothing to do with the gifter's own, the partner who's gifting it, his own debts. Rather, from, let's say, someone in general would come and contest and say, hey, what are you doing with this field? This was my father's or was my own. Nothing to do with the one who's giving it. Something that would have happened no matter who had it. It would have been some type of a problem and this guy might take it away and then this guy's left without the field. And that's what you're saying, that the partner is saying, don't worry, I'll insure you. If someone comes and takes it away, achrayis de'alma, I'll compensate you. And that is the Gemara, what I mean, kol shekein de'nichle. Then to the contrary, for sure over there that he would it would be preferable for the partner who's gifting it to say testimony, and therefore he's invested and he cannot testify. And the reason is because there is a bias there. There is a relationship over there when he testifies to maintain it in his partner's domain because he wants it to be by him, because if that other person, whoever he is, takes it away from him, then that his partner Shimon is going to come and collect from him because he insured him. So of course he's going to testify that it should maintain over there. So how does that answer the question that he's not negeya bedavar? He is negeya bedavar. Ella rather explains the Gemara, and that's what we had alluded to before. It's actually achrayis de asila machmasei. What he was insuring him was not an achrayis de alma. It was only specifically an achrayis, a responsibility insuring him if it's something that is going to be a loss to his partner because of Reuven himself. So if let's say, meaning Reuven's own creditors who he owed money to will come and want to demand money and they're going to go and collect now from his nechas mishabadim, that's what he's insuring him. Oh, so therefore, that's what the halacha Shmuel was, that he could testify regarding if someone else is contesting it, then he's allowed to testify to maintain it by his partner. The reason for this is because in such a situation, he's not doing it to protect and keep it by Shimon for his creditor, because that was the Gemara's original question. What do you mean he's not gaining? He is gaining, because if Shimon has it, then his creditor could be able to collect from it. And that is what the Gemara is answering now, that to the contrary, what type of a gain does Reuven have if his creditor is going to collect it from his partner Shimon, and so therefore he's not going to be a labor Rasha B'lei Shalom? What do you mean? Ultimately, he is going to be a Rasha B'lei Shalom, not regarding his original creditor, but now regarding his partner. Because as we just described the Gemara, he accepted responsibility and liability to pay for his partner if his own creditors come and collect from him. And if he doesn't have, we're now what's going to end up happening is that so the new creditor, meaning his partner, is going to take the place of the first creditor. So he stands to gain nothing. Now, so too is also if he doesn't testify, he's not going to lose because he didn't accept responsibility in regards to anyone else in the world that contests it. So therefore, either way you look at it, whether he's going to testify or he's not going to testify, he's always going to have one creditor that, in regards to that person, he's going to be a labor rush of Aleih Shalom, because either he's going to be regarding his creditor or he's going to be regarding the guy himself, so he doesn't stand to gain anything. And the fact that someone else takes it away, that he didn't take responsibility for. So regarding that type of person contesting, he could testify. Now, later on, the Gemara just proves that this idea that either way he's going to be a labor rush of Aleih Shalom, whether from the first creditor or his new creditor, meaning his partner, that would be collected from his original credit, which he took responsibility for, is even in the case where if he sells with a chrayis and then it's taken away from his lekech and he doesn't pay him up, that would also be considered labor rush to b'leish shalom. So therefore, he doesn't stand to gain anything. That is the case that we described from Shmuel Me'idin Zelazeh, when again he acquired it to his partner, he made a kinyan on Din Farm Ainli, and although similarly, but he's still gaining regarding his Baal Chayiv, he's not gaining regarding Baal Chayiv because he gave it to his partner with a chrayis that if his partner takes it, he'll owe it to him. So either way, he's really back to square one. So therefore, when some random person is contesting it, he's the ma'ar, he could testify because he didn't take responsibility if someone else will take it away from him. So he doesn't gain over there. And neither does he gain regarding the partner, because as we just said, regarding the partner and the first creditor, it's going to be the same thing for him whether he testifies or not. Either way, he's going to be liberal shal b'lei shalom, and therefore he doesn't stand to gain anything. And therefore, me'idin zelzeh is in that unique described case. I think Gemara still continues asking. V'chim is salik, what, do you think that when one of the partners removes nafshei minei, that he removes himself from his portion, do you really think mim mistalik, that he really gets removed? Do you think it's a total removal, even as regards to what the halacha of Shmuel is saying, that even regarding saying testimony, that he's not going to be considered as if he's related to a bias regarding the testimony that he could testify, where you're saying that, okay, the reason why he could testify is because he was machnit, he totally acquired it to his partner, and if he's not invested anymore, he could testify. On that premise, the Gemara asks, but Vatanya, within the Brice, that seemingly it doesn't help if you really are a partner to remove yourself and then testify regarding what was you originally invested in. Because the Brice says, B'nai Ir, regarding the people of the city, Shenignav Sefer Torah Shalhem, that their Torah scroll, their Sefer Torah was stolen from them. Now, the significance of the halacha of this Brice is that the reason why city members are not able to participate in the court case is because we're concerned that maybe that there's a bias over there, that they're going to testify regarding what happened because it's related to their city. And even if we want to take them out for a second, but they're only going to do it as like a temporary removal. Oh, I have nothing invested over here. I remove my rights. They're just going to do it as a trick. And then they're going to go back right back to their partnership. So therefore, says the Braisa, ain dunan. None of the city members could judge who's the purported suspected thief. And because the guy himself says it's not true, that I actually bought it with money or some other claim. And he's claiming he's not a thief. So you can't judge bidayoni oisair. The judge of that city cannot judge him. So divaimavin raya, you cannot bring a proof, meaning of testimony of witnesses who claim that they saw this guy steal it, or that they testify that this was the saviter of this city, me'anche oisair, from people of the members of that city, because they're all partners and they're all negabed, they all have a bias regarding what they're testifying. And that asks the Gemara of Emisa, but if what we just described from Shmuel's halacha is correct, that even if you were once a partner, you could remove yourself and then you could testify, so then how do we understand this brisa? L'salku be'triminai, why don't they just go ahead and remove two people, members of the city, where they'll write, din advarm ainli al sefer Torah zeh, they'll write a document that we have no rights in the sefer Torah of the city, and they'll actually make a kinyan it, v'ladainu, and then let them go ahead and adjudicate the case, because you said that if you remove yourself, you're not considered negabedav, and then you could testify, and then you could judge. So I think Mar says that's not difficult, because Shani Sefer Torah, that case of the Braisa, which talks about Sefer Torah, is unique, because the purpose of the Sefer Torah, yes, there's the actual ownership of the parchment itself, but the utility of a Sefer Torah is used to read in the shul and hear the Torah reading. And therefore, no member of the city could really technically remove themselves from the rights of the Sefer Torah to make them as if they're not Negei Be'edus anymore, because ultimately they will benefit, and because they fulfill their mitzvah by listening to the Sefer Torah being read in the Beis HaKnesses, unless, says Rashbam, if they go and they live in another city, where then they're not going to benefit from the reading, then yes, maybe you could do that. But regular city members to say, oh, we have no rights? What do you mean you have no rights? You are using the Sefer Torah, and therefore that's not going to be a successful removal, and that's why it's not going to work. But by the, like, Shmuel's halacha, by two partners in one field, he could remove his rights, and he has no investment, and then he could testify. The Gemara continues asking Tashma from another braisa. Similarly, Ha'imer Tnuman L'Bnei Iri. If someone says, I want to give this $100 to the peoples of my city, meaning for the purposes of the city needs, for the city walls or other public needs. So says the Braisa, regarding his donation to the city, ain't done in Bedayon Oisir. You can't judge him, whether if he gave it or didn't give it, whatever it is, you can't judge it with the judge of that city. And the Imavin Raima Anche Oisir, you can't bring a proof, witnesses from the people of that city, again, because there's a bias, they're related, they want more money, they want people to donate to their city, and because of that, they're not kosher to testify or to judge. And that has to come on mind, but why? L'salku be'tray nafshayu, let two people from the city remove themselves, that they say they're not going to benefit. They're going to give from their own pocket, correlating, and they're not going to benefit from this guy's mana, they're going to give their own mana, and they're not going to benefit. So they're not part of it. They can remove themselves from that partnership. But l'dayno, let them judge. According to Shmuel's halacha, they should be allowed to do that. Says the Gemara, Hachanami b'sefer Torah. No, here actually, what we're talking about is when he said he's going to give $100 to the city, he said he's going to give it to the city to buy a sefer Torah. And that no one could remove themselves, as we said before. The Gemara asks from another braisa, Tashma. Similarly, Ha'imer Tnuman Elaniya Iri. This is similar, but again different. Someone says, give it $100, give a mano, not $100, but give 100 zuz to the poor people of my city. So again, says the Braisa, ain't done it, you don't judge it with the people of the city. Neither can you bring witnesses from the people of that city. Again, obviously because there's a bias, there's an investment over there. Now, actually, the Gemara first asks on the Braisa, and then answers its question, and then concludes its question on Shmuel, which Rashbam says that's how the Gemara does it many times, where it doesn't conclude the question until it first asks a question on the Braisa, answers it, and then concludes the question. So the Gemara first asks, before it asks the question on Shmuel, is Vitizbra? Is it really logical that this is what the Braisa was saying, that as it's written, where the judges become puzzled to judge this guy who is supposed to give money to the poor because of the poor people in the city? But that doesn't make them a negei bedaver. What do you mean? Anim shakli, what the poor people will be taking, and dayanim mivsli, and that makes the judge of the city puzzle, void, invalid. What's their negiyah b'davar? They have nothing to do with the poor. Why can't they judge regarding what this guy has to give to the poor? So le'ima rather says the Gemara, the way you should read the brayis is in danin b'dayanim aniye oiseir. You can't judge this guy with judges who are the poor of the city. And neither could witnesses be from the poor of the city, because they obviously have an investment over here, because they're going to get from money that people are donating to the poor people of the city. Now that we explain what the Bryce is talking about, again the Gemara asks, but why? Let two of the poor people of the city remove themselves, say, we have nothing, we're not going to get any of these rights, and then let them judge, even though they're from the poor of the city. Says the Gemara, no hachinam b'sefer Torah. Here, as we said in the previous two questions, we're talking about a sefer Torah where no one could remove themselves. Now the Gemara says, if that's the case, Amai Karlu Anim, why does he call, if it's about a sefer Torah, why does it call, he says, I'm going to give this 100 zuz to the poor of the city. If it's about a sefer Torah, why does it have to do with the poor of the city? Says the Gemara, because the hakol etzel sefer Torah anim, because everyone is considered poor in relationship to not having a sefer Torah, because that's something everyone needs. And it's normal for people to call the people of the city poor when they don't have a sefer Torah, because that's definitely a great poverty if there's no sefer Torah in the city. That's one approach. Or if you want, says the Gemara, lo'ilim, the truth is you could explain the braisa, kidiktani, as we read it, meaning it's tuma aniyim mamish, literally poor people. And you're right, the judges of the city, not like the way we amended it, are actually not poor, and still we said they're going to be invalid. But then the Gemara's question was, what do you mean? Why would the judges be puzzled? They're not negeya in the Eidus. It's about the poor getting money, and the judges are not poor. They're not paupers. And that says the Gemara, but ba'ani deramu alayu. But we're talking about paupers that to feed them and take care of them is incumbent upon the judges of the city, meaning regarding the wealthier people in the city, as the Gemara is going to explain, which that makes them negeya be'Eidus, because whatever is not going to be compensated by other donations, the people of the city are going to have to support them, which the Gemara first explains. What's the case talking about? Idik hitzlahu, if every single city member has a set amount of money, how much they have to give for the poor people of the city from their own money every single year, so then we're back to the question. Let two people give already what is the set amount that everyone has to give that year. And then Miladainu, let him judge, because now he already gave his part. It doesn't make a difference now if someone gives or doesn't donate, he's not negei b'davar, because he already gave his set amount. And then let them judge, even though they're from the wealthier people of the city. Why'd you say no one in the city could judge? Says the Gemara, you're right, hachamai eskin an delay kitzlo. What we're talking about over here is where there's no set amount. Rather, the city members give accordingly whatever it is that the poor people are lacking that year. So as long as this person who, if they would enforce and judge him and testify regarding that he has to give that $100, so then the judges who are the wealthy people will not give, because it's relative to how much money there is that is needed for that year for the poor people. Therefore, no one could ever go ahead and testify or judge this person who is supposed to give this donation from the city, because you can't remove yourself, because the obligation is relative to whatever money this guy's giving. So every penny he gives is a benefit and a gain and a bias for the judges or for the witnesses of that city. Or if you want, says the Gemara, you could even say loyim dekitzlu. You could even say that there is a set amount how much everyone has to give in that city. And even so, v'nichluhu, it's still preferable for the judges that this person should be enforced to give his $100 to the poor people. Why? What does that have to do? What's the investment? What's the bias? I already gave my set amount. I don't gain or lose if you give or not. There is, because the kiven de ravach. Because since if there's a negain, there's a gain. In other words, if there's a surplus of money, where if we can enforce this guy to give his $100, then why should they give as long if it's not needed? So even though there's a set amount, okay, everyone in town has got to give $180 a year. Now, but if there's look at the funds, there's a surplus, and therefore they're not going to be enforced to do that. So there's a gain even if there's a set amount, and therefore even the judges who are not poor cannot go ahead and adjudicate a court case against a guy who had promised a donation to the poor people of the city. Now the Gemara continues with the next halacha of Shmuel, which was said also regarding partners, that is v'nasin shemi sachar zelazet, that they also have the halachic status regarding the part of the object that they own together, where one guy's watching it, where he's holding onto it for the time being, and it gets stolen from him. He has the halacha as like a shemir sachar, who is getting paid for what he's watching, and therefore he's going to have to compensate his partner for the loss of his half of the object that they had in partnership together. With the Gemara, continues on the base and actually asks on this. But am I, actually, why is there any liability whatsoever for the partner, let's say when it gets stolen? So obviously his half gets stolen, okay, fine. But now he has to compensate his partner because it's like he's a paid guardian. And that is the Gemara, but Shmir Babailami. Actually, it fits into the category of watching something where the one who you're watching it for is actually working for you. Because each one of these partners is watching part of this partnership of their half and the other in their own house. Because when you have something in the partnership, so he might have half, he might have half, and each one, it's not his own half, it's in partnership to the other, so it's like you're watching your half and his half together. Where the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia in Perek HaShad of Tzad Hemad Aleph that Shmir Bebailim is Pater, which means to say that if you're watching someone else's thing and the owner is doing a service for you at that same time, where that's going to be the same thing over here, then you're actually exempt. Now, Rashbam just points out, although actually that halacha of Shmir Bebailim is mentioned by the halacha of a shoyel, of a borrower, and not by Shomer Sachar, but the Gemara there learns out Shomer Sachar from shoyel because it says by the shoyel v'chi yishal with a vav, which adds on to the previous parasha, which talks about a Shomer Sachar, and you learn out the previous one from the next one, which is this halacha of p'tur of Shmir Bebailim by Shomer Sachar too. Now, since over here you have Reuben, who is safeguarding his part of Shimon at the time when it was stolen or lost from the part that was by Shimon, so Shimon's going to be exempt from Reuven's half because Reuven is doing the same thing for Shimon. We hear they're both watching half, so they're both working for each other because not only is he watching his half, but he's watching his half too. So if you have the owner of the object that you're watching working for you, that's considered the halach of Shmir Bebailim, and then there's a patur no matter what happens. So why is your chiv that you're saying is like a Shomer Sachar by Gneiva Vaveda, let's say, because that's a Shomer Sachar Schayiv, even if you're going to say that there's some type of a schar, but it's Shmir Bebailim, and you should be totally exempt. So that Amar Papa says, you're right, that would be if they're both watching both halves at the same time, so then each one in his half is his part in the neighbor and his partner's part, so then each one is doing a service for the other one while he's watching and would be exempt. But here it's talking about in Shmuel's halacha where they stipulated the amalei, where he said to his partner, Shomer li hayoyim, today you watch for me the whole field, meaning my portion and your portion, v'ani eshem l'cho l'macher, and I'm going to watch all of it tomorrow. Oh, so since they weren't doing the safeguarding at the same time, rather and consecutive at different times, so then you don't have the halacha of Shmir Bebailim, because when this guy was a Shomer Sachar, the other one was not doing a service for him, so it's not Shmir Bebailim, and that's why if he's a Shomer Sachar, he's going to be Chayav. Now, the Chiddush inherent in Shmuel's halacha is coming to tell us that the reason why he's considered a guardian, like a paid guardian, is because when he watches the whole entire field, so he's watching also his friend's part, why is he doing that? Is so that his friend will watch his half tomorrow too. So you're doing it with, not just for free as a shemachinim, as a favor, you're doing it because you're going to get a gain that he's going to watch your half tomorrow too. Now, the chiddush in that is because you would have thought to say that no, he should still be considered shemachinim, because ultimately, even without his friend's half, he would have to watch anyway his half, and it would be one act of guarding where it wouldn't make a difference if his partner's half is with him too, and therefore it shouldn't be considered shemer sachar, because anyways he's watching. And that's the chiddush of Shmuel, is that no, since ultimately his half you stand to gain because there's round robin watching and you're happy that tomorrow he'll do it, so therefore that's considered Shomer Sachar and you're Michayev, and there's no Petur Shmir Bebailim because it's not Tumah at the same time, Tumah at different times. Now, the Gemara actually now goes back to what we had mentioned related to previously, to Shmuel's halacha of what we said by partners Me'idin Zalzeh, they could testify one for the other, and it's not considered that as if there's a bias there in relationship there because he removed himself from the partnership. So related discussion, the Gemara brings Tana Banu, what a braisa. Mocher loy bayis. If somebody sells his house to his friend, to someone else, or mocher loy sada, or he sells him his field, says the braisa, ein meir loy aleha. The seller cannot testify regarding the ownership, the rightful ownership of the consumer to maintain it in his property, Meaning, if let's say the seller wants to join together with some other person to testify that it's his, that whoever's contesting it is wrong, he's not allowed to do that because he's considered negeya be'edus, similar to the concept we mentioned before. There's a relativity he has to what he's testifying. And the reason for that is because the liability of the home that he sold to this guy is a love, is responsible on the seller, because if this guy who's contesting is going to take it away from the buyer, guess what the buyer is going to do? He's going to go right back to the seller. And therefore, he prefers, the seller prefers that it should be maintained by the buyer and that he shouldn't have to compensate him. So therefore, he's negated, and therefore he cannot testify for him to keep it over there. That's how the Gemara assumes is the interpretation now. However, Machli Para, which more later on is going to explain this case, if he sells him a cow or Machli Talis, or he sells him a cloak, so then Me'ilaylau, there he could testify that it's his. He could join with someone else to testify that it's rightfully his. And there is because there the liability of the Lekech is not Olav, is not on the seller. Meaning, if someone is going to take it away from the buyer because of the seller, that he claims that the seller stole it from him, on that, says the Braisa, that the seller is not going to be responsible, and therefore he could go ahead and testify. Now, that the Gemara asks, but why? Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. What's the difference between the two cases of when he sells him the house, where he cannot testify, and when he sells him a cow, that he could testify? In other words, why is the Seifa of Metatlin any different, where there you're saying, oh, because the responsibility, liability is not on him, why is it any different than land? In other words, if these two sales were done with achrayas, so then both of them have achrayus or love, and neither one should be able to testify. And if he sold it without achrayas, even the case of the house or the field, so then both don't have achrayas, so then he should be able to testify in the house or the field too. So what's the difference? So Amrav Sheshes, he gives a different interpretation into the Braisa. He says, Reisha, the case of selling the house or the field is as follows. We're talking about Beruvin. We start off with Reuven. Shegazel sold him Shimon. He stole a field from Shimon. Umacher Levi, he sold it. Reuven, who stole it, sold it to Levi. Now, the Asi Yehuda. Now, Yehuda, meaning a totally unrelated person, came v'koma ar, and he contests regarding this field that now is by Levi, and he says, "This is my field," and he brings witnesses or documentation that prove that actually Reuven, who was the thief, did not steal it from Shimon. He stole it from me, Yehuda. So that's what the Bryce is saying, the Loilezel Shimon, that Shimon, who is assumed to be the original owner, the original victim who was stolen from, he cannot go and join together with another witness, La'asid Le'Levi, to testify for Levi that this field is not Yehuda's. For example, let's say he knows some type of testimony to invalidate and void the witnesses of Yehuda to show that they're liars, they're thieves who are not believed to say kosher testimony. Or let's say they have a way, he has a way of voiding the documentation, showing that it was a fraud, the documentation of Yehuda. And that is what the Bryce is saying, is that Shimon cannot go ahead and testify for Levi. Why? Because Denichale, the Hadra, because he has stands to gain, there's a bias over there, that Shimon wants that the field should be maintained by the consumer Levi, and because then afterwards, either today or some other day, Shimon's going to come and bring proof that this field was always his field, and that Reuven had stolen it from him, and that he had given it and sold it to Levi, and that he could go and collect it from Levi and take it for himself. And the reason for that is very simply is because karka ein nigzelus, land cannot be stolen, and it doesn't help even if there's what's called yish, even if Shimon had given up hope, and chain rishus, where he kept on changing domains, it doesn't make a difference, because land is what it is always. So therefore, explains Rav Sheshes, Shimon is a negeya be'edus, he has some type of a relationship here with what he's testifying, because he doesn't want Yehuda to take it away, because if he does, then Shimon's not going to be able to get it back anymore, as the Gemara will later on explain, because Shimon actually prefers to litigate with Levi, and not with Yehuda, who is a very difficult type of person to deal with. So therefore, says the Braisa, Shimon, who was the victim, cannot testify for Levi, who was sold to. Now, so therefore, actually, the interpretation, the reading of the Braisa actually has a totally different reading right now. What the Braisa is saying is as follows. When it says, Mocher loy bayis, if he sells him a house, or Mocher loy sada, he sells him a field, there's more individuals here than meets the eye in the Braisa. We're talking about Reuven the thief sells a field or house to Levi. When it says then in the Braisa that Ein Meid Lo Yaleha, it doesn't mean the one who sold it to him. It's not referring to Reuven. It's referring to Shimon, who's the victim. He cannot testify now for Levi, the consumer, that it should be maintained by Levi. In contrast, another player over here, to Yehuda, who's the Ma'ar, who's contesting it. Now, why? That's what the Braisa says when it says Mimnei Shachri Yusolav, a totally different reading in those words. It's Mimnei Shachri Yusolav, it's from the word of Achris, which is the end. Because the end goal of the victim Shimon is a love, who's a love? On him, on the Lekeach, on Levi. Because he's testifying that it should stay by Levi because at the end he wants to be able to go and take it away from Levi and take it from himself. Oh, because of that, he's considered negay in this edus and he cannot testify for it to be maintained by Levi and to not let Yehuda take it away from Levi. Now later on the Gemara is going to explain, well, so why, if that was the whole answer of Rav Sheshes, why then did the Braisa have to describe it? Why did Rav Sheshes have to say it in the case of where Reuven stole it from him and then sold it on to Levi? Rav Sheshes could have explained the Braisa with less people, which there's so many people being added over here that you don't see in the case of the Braisa. He could have just said it with Reuven, the Gazlan himself. And then Yehuda, a different person, comes and contests that Shimon, the victim, cannot come and testify for Reuven the Gazlan to maintain it by him for that same reason, because he wants to be able to collect it from Reuven and not from Yehuda, who is a difficult type of a person. Now the Sefer of Talis and Parah, the Gemara is going to explain on the next daf. But first the Gemara asks on this interpretation of Rav Sheshes. Still, why is it that Shimon cannot testify for Levi? But the question is, Bekivin the Asid laid the Levi who, but once he testifies that it's Levi's, because the Gemara right now assumes that the way he's removing it from the right of Yehuda to take it away from Levi, and he's maintaining it by Levi, is because he's testifying. He brings him and another person testify that this is Levi's and not Yehuda's. Now, so therefore the Gemara asks that since he's admitting in front of the court that it's Levi's, so then Heichi Motzei Mapik Lemeneis. Why are you saying that he's a biased because he wants to ultimately take it away from Levi, and that's why he's testifying that's Levi's and not Yehuda's, because Yehuda's too difficult to deal with? What do you mean? How could he go ahead and take it away from Levi afterwards? But what's called Haidaz Badin Kimei Edom Dami, when he admits and he's testifying with another person that it's Levi's, it's like 100 witnesses testifying, so it comes that he's not going to gain anything with this testimony, and he's not going to be in the gain this edus whatsoever, because he's not going to be able to get it back from Levi. He already gave it, he already testified that it's Levi's. So why did the Braisa say, according to this interpretation of Sheshes, that he cannot testify for Levi, that it should not be allowed to be taken away by Yehuda? That answers the Gemara, no, the Amar, it's come on where Shimon said in his testimony, Yidana dehayara delav de Yehudahi. His whole testimony was that I know that this land is not Yehuda's, because he invalidates either the witnesses of Yehuda by saying that they're Gazlanim, they're not kosher witnesses, or he refutes their claims, whatever, however he does that. But the testimony is that as if he says that, what I mean, in front of me, he admitted that it's not his field. Now, therefore, by default, it will be remained and maintained by Levi, even though he didn't testify straight out and said that it is Levi's. So therefore, he never admitted that it's Levi's, and therefore, ultimately, he will be able to collect from Levi. And therefore, there's a negeiba daber. But the Gemara asked that still, why can't he testify regarding this to be maintained by Levi? What exactly does Shimon lose if Yehuda will take it away? In other words, why are you saying that he's biased, he wants to be maintained by Levi? Oh, because he doesn't want Yehuda to take it away. But why? Why are you saying that there's a bias over here that he might have, that he wants it to be by Levi and not Yehuda take it away? What does he lose if Yehuda takes it away? But ubahu's chusa de komapik lemelevi, whatever merit he has that he's planning, and that's what we think he's plotting, that he's going to ultimately have some rights to take it away from Levi, either today or tomorrow, where he's going to bring witnesses, let's say, that could prove that it's his field and that Reuben stole from him. So then you have the same thing, lifka me Yehuda. That's the same way he'll be able to take it away from Yehuda, with those same witnesses themselves. So it turns out he doesn't gain anything by testifying for Levi at all, because either way, whatever he's going to do for Levi or Yehuda. So why can't he testify for Levi? So that the Gemara answers that the reason why he can't testify is because Shimon thinks to himself, the Amar he says, Hasheni, the second one, meaning Levi, is Noichli. He's easy for me to deal with. I want him to be my litigant that I'll be able to go and take it away from him. But Harishon, because rather Yehuda, he's a very strong guy and he's challenging and Kashemanu, he's more difficult than Levi, I'm not going to be able to deal with him in court. And if it's going to come to him, I'm never going to get back my field, which is rightly mine because I'm a victim. Now, that's why the Bryce invalidates him from saying testimony, because you could say that that's the whole machination, the whole scheming of Shimon, that he, one reason why he's testifying is maybe there's a bias. He's not saying the total truth, the unadulterated truth. And he's testifying that it should be maintained by Levi and not by Yehuda, because he really doesn't want Yehuda to get it. And the halacha is, you cannot kosher a witness until it's obvious to us that there is no negius, there's no relationship whatsoever, an investment or bias here whatsoever, where here he does have one, because maybe he's saying it because he doesn't want it to be by Yehuda, who is more difficult to him than Levi. Now, actually, Rashbam says that the wording actually should have been the opposite. Levi really is the Rishon, the first one, should have said that that's Noichli, and Yehuda is actually, he's the second one that comes onto the scene, and he's Koshe Emenu. But the reason why it says, calls Levi the Sheni and Yehuda the Rishon is because that's the same wording that it's in the Mishnah Masechet Ksubah, so it kept that same uniform terminology. But that's what it refers to when it says Hasheni Noichli, it refers to Levi, and the Rishon Koshe Emenu refers to Yehuda. V'ibay Seimah. Or the Gemara says, if you want, you could say that the reason why Shimon would not be able to remove it from Yehuda, and again, therefore we're saying that's why he's negei b'davar, and that's why he wants to be maintained by Levi, and that's why he's not kosher to say the testimony is kagoin de islei sahadi lamar. We'd be talking about where Shimon has witnesses that it's his field, and that's what he's planning on using to take it away from Levi. Now, but the islei sahadi lamar, Yehuda also has witnesses that contradict Shimon's witnesses, who say that the field actually belongs to Yehuda. Now that's why he wants it to stay by Levi and not to go to Yehuda, which the question was why? However he's going to get it from Levi, get it from Yehuda, it's not true. Because V'am Rabban, the Rabban say, whenever there's a doubt regarding the law of a piece of property, the halach is, Ara hechad dekaima tekim. Wherever the land is, that's where it remains. In other words, the courts do not take it away from whoever is the machzik at that moment. Similarly, as we had the Machlekes Rabban Rabbi Yisrael Lamed Beis and Mabeis, where the Gemara said that where the land is, that's where it is, because since we don't know what the law is, we won't take it away from whoever's holding it at that moment. So do the Gemara and the Lamed Dal and Mabeis, that each one was saying that it's my father's, and he said it's my father's. Rabbi Nachman said, look, kol dal megavar, whoever is stronger, he's the one who will win. The reason is because since we're in doubt, so whoever wants to take possession, let him take possession, and we're not going to take it away from him. So to by Nixa de Barshati and Ksubas Dav Chof Mer Aleph, we say the same thing, where we say, okay, there's two against two, and Uki Ara Becheskis Barshati, then it remains in whoever's possession it is at this time. So then what the Gemara is saying is the same thing over here. If it's going to come to Yehuda, Shimon's not going to be able to take it away from Yehuda with the same witnesses that he plans on using to take it away from Levi. Because since the law allowed it to be by Yehuda, because either way you're going to look at it, Levi has no rights in it. And if Yehuda, who's contesting, is going to be able to take it away from Levi, he, at that time, is going to be the muchzik. If he's the muchzik, even if Shimon brings witnesses that it's his too, he's not going to take it away. Because then it's two against two, it's a suffix, and Yehuda will already have been the muchzik. So therefore he has a bias, because he wants it to be by Levi. Because if Yehuda gets it, then he's the muchzik, not going to take it away. If Levi is the muchzik, because Yehuda didn't take it away, then, but Levi has no rights, because he'll just bring his two witnesses showing that it's his, and that Reuben stole it from him, then of course he's going to be able to take it away from Levi. So only Levi with his witnesses will he be able to take it away, but not from Yehuda. Now, Rashbam points out that it's not difficult because it's not comparable to what we had on the Flam and Alfa Mabez that seemingly contradicts this premise that it said that if someone later on brought witnesses that it was also his father's, so Rav Nachman said that although we took him away from it because the other one had more rights to this, to his claim, but Ananaskinla will bring him back. Where, although over there it's the same thing, where one had witnesses and then the other one had witnesses, and even so, even if we were machzik one of them based on his witnesses, the halacha that we see over there is that misalkinan lei, that we do bring him back when he brings witnesses, which seemingly contradicts what the Gemara is saying over here, which we will not maintain it only by the one that's the machzik. And that says Rashbam, the reason for that over there is because since they both come to litigate together at the same time, and both these litigants have witnesses, now, so the truth is that the court should not have put the rights of one of them more than the other one. Rather, the halacha should be called Dom Gavar, whoever's stronger wins, because we have no way of proving it. Now, so therefore, since we ultimately did, But once the other one then brings claims that will then equal the other ones, so then we bring it back to be as it was in the beginning, and we'll bring it back to called Kaldom Gevar, because really it wasn't right that we took one of them away from the land, because they were both litigants at the same time. So although one had a little better claim, so we gave it to him, but then when he is equal to him, we got to put it back right where it was originally. Now that, however, stands in contrast to what we're describing here in our Gemara, where Shimon and Yehuda are not litigating once against the other. It's Levi and Yehuda. It's from Levi that Yehuda wants to take it away, rightfully, if he brings witnesses or a document that it was his. And the reason is because most definitely, Levi for sure has no rights. Because what's being proven is that he bought it from a thief, from Reuven. Now the only question is, but who did Reuven steal it from? That's what Shimon and Yehuda are disagreeing about. Now, but since, according to law, Yehuda takes possession of this field because he brings witnesses and proves that it was his field, when Shimon later on is going to come and dispute with him, then is what we say, uki trei l'mahadi trei, then the two witnesses of Yehuda are cancelled out by the two witnesses of Shimon, but then uki ara b'cheskes Yehuda, then the field maintains in whoever's mukhzik it right now, who is Yehuda. That is why the Gemara is saying that Shimon cannot testify for Levi if he knows any types of witnesses to validate the witnesses of Yehuda, or him and another person will testify and say, what do you mean, in front of us they admitted that it's not Yehuda's, because he prefers that it should be maintained by Levi, because then ultimately he could go ahead and collect with his witnesses from Levi, by his witnesses who saw that Reuben had stolen it from Shimon. Now, after that point, even if Yehuda would then bring witnesses that it's his field, he would not be able to take it away from Shimon, because A, first of all, Shimon already, him and someone else already invalidated the witnesses of Yehuda. And moreover, then you would have the same logic in the reverse, that since Shimon already had witnesses that it was his field, and even though now Yehuda is bringing witnesses that it's his field, and they'll cancel each other out, but the Rabbanan say, once someone rightfully is the machzik, even though now it's equal to the other person who's claiming it, Shimon will then be the machzik, and he'll be able to maintain it. And therefore, there's a bias, and that's why the Gemara is explaining Rav Sheshet's interpretation of the bias is that in this case, the way we described it, this Shimon, who had the field stolen by Reuven, who then sold it to Levi, could not testify for Levi that it's not Yehuda's who's contesting that it's his, because he's going to stand to gain, because as the Ibai is aiming the Gemara is saying, even though he has witnesses, so let him produce it just like he's going to do against Levi, same thing against Yehuda. It's not true because Yehuda also has witnesses. And then there's going to make a difference if it originally goes to Yehuda and then Shimon tries to take it away from him, that he's not going to be able to. Whereas if Yehuda doesn't and Shimon maintains it by Levi, and then Shimon takes it away from Levi, then Yehuda's not going to be able to take it away from Shimon, and therefore he stands to gain, and therefore he's negeba, and therefore he's not a kosher witness to maintain it by Levi, so that Yehuda cannot take it away from Levi.